is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Michael Lombardi here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Joining us in 30 minutes, our one guest here on the program, our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSIN Tonight. We were on with Eumanns and
so
Wes Reynolds last
Matt.
Night.
Yeah,
those guys.
Wes Reynolds was, you know, he's a Colt fan. He was a little worried about the Colts pick. I mean, I think, you know, everybody wants a sure thing. It's a hard thing to predict. I mean, look. The Colts, I think this pick for the Colts at the top of the second is going to be a critical pick. Mm-hmm. This guy needs to be a day one starter. Whether they can pick an offensive lineman here, I don't know. I mean, I think there's going to be some candidates. Again, the board's going to be all over the place because this board has been all over the place. I mean, nobody really knows what everybody else's board. I was just reading that the Cowboys felt like that they were going to take Kincaid. So
there's conflicting stuff on that with the Kincaid stuff.
Yeah,
but who knows what?
But I think the Kincaid thing, in all honesty, the Kincaid thing was more about his medical. Like, you don't know that. See, you share medical information. Most teams do. So you don't know. Maybe if you don't have Buffalo's medical on Kincaid, you think that. So I think you have to kind of go through that. But today, I think, you know, when the Colts are sitting there and they're getting ready to pick, they need a left tackle, right? And so, you know, the only one, Jones from Ohio State's a right tackle. Bergon from Syracuse could be an option. Blake Freeland, who had an incredible workout from BYU. You know, they got to get an offensive lineman, I think, there. Or, you know, would they take the receiver, Hyatt, who would fit perfectly what they want to do? They don't have a kind of that kind of guy.
A game breaker.
No, I'm not saying Hyatt's a game breaker, but they don't have that. Right.
Yeah. I guess game breaker is a little bit, just saying fast. He's a fast guy. We don't know if he is going to be the game breaking type of player, but he can at least take a top off of a defense with speed, which their receivers did not do that last year. Michael Pittman, good player, but not really known for running away from defenders. So we'll see what happens. Colts hold the 35th pick, but the day will start later on, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, round number two with the Pittsburgh Steelers picking 32nd overall. Well, let's continue our conversation with some of these teams in the top 10. Tyree Wilson, who we thought could go as high as number two to the Houston Texans, being that lengthy, big body defensive end, 6'6", 270, ends up going to the Las Vegas Raiders at 7, plus 600 to be the 7th overall pick here. Now he can kind of be bookend pass rusher with Max Crosby.
And they still have Chandler Jones on the team. So they've got a good rotation, three defensive ends. They needed this. And he's long. He's athletic. You know, he can drop. He's very skilled. I mean, this is a prototypical right defensive end with size. I mean, it's hard to run the ball when you're trying to run the ball over a 275, 280-pound man. So, and I don't think he needs to come in. He's got really arm length is incredible. This is exactly what you want from a defensive end. And I think the Raiders had, whether they were going to take Carter or him, this kid was clean in terms of the character, and he was just as good a player as they felt like. And so you take him and you move on with the other one. They got a good front seven player. They needed that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one they needed. Now they need him to be healthy and ready to go, which they obviously feel he can be.
Yeah, it's hard to find a quarterback that's better than Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert. So in order to try to beat those teams, you got to get those guys on the ground. And the Raiders are trying to build towards that here, getting a pass rush.
No question about it. I mean, they got to do it. I mean, you need – the other thing you need with edges, you need to run with them. And this kid can run, even though we don't have a legitimate 40 time on him yet.
Yeah, and as long as that foot is okay, because that's the one thing, the concern for some teams is the foot. But the Raiders, sounds like the medical checked out there, and Tyree Wilson goes number 7 overall. I want to kind of pair these next two ones. We're going to go a little bit out of order here, but I think it'll make sense. The Atlanta Falcons, and I want to pair it with the Detroit Lions at number 12, because the Falcons went ahead and drafted Bijan Robinson, running back out of Texas. First Texas Longhorn drafted in the top 10 since 2006, when Vince Young and Michael Huff were top 10 draft picks here. But Bijan, hell of a player, but from Atlanta, what do you think of the team building aspect?
I just don't like the pick for Atlanta. I mean, here they are. Tight end, no. Well, wide receiver Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver Drake London. Running back Bijan Robinson. They had running backs. They're running. The one area of strength on their team was running back.
Yeah, they were good at that.
And now, I mean, this is a really good player, but what are they doing? It's the same thing with Detroit. I mean, did you see the Detroit? I don't know if Elliott has it for people to view it. The celebration to pick the running back. Now, maybe they're frustrated with Swift, because when Swift plays for Detroit, they're a different team.
He's a hell of a player.
He really is a good player. But they take Gibbs, and they said Gibbs was the highest rated player on the board. You know, I don't, again, this is about team building. If I'm Detroit, I want a front seven guy. They must have not liked Carter enough to take him. They didn't like Tyree Wilson enough to take him. And so now they got this guy rated. I don't know how you could grade Gibbs that high to take him the 12th pick overall. I just don't understand it. More from a team building. I think Gibbs is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bijan Robinson. But if I'm building a team and I'm the Atlanta Falcons and I've spent three number one picks on skill players, I have no quarterback, I can't stop anybody on defense, where am I going?
Mm.
Like, just look around the league, the teams that win. They win because of their lines. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have a really good offensive line. None of this nonsense about, well, you need a left tackle. You need two tackles now.
Yeah.
They need two tackles. You don't need just a left tackle. No, like, they put their best rusher against your worst tackle. So you need two tackles, and you need seven or eight defensive linemen. And how are you going to get them? I mean, they had to sign Calais Campbell in free agency. Like, to me, who is making these decisions? Like, who is saying, if we're going to win, we need to do this? Here's the blueprint towards winning. Like, you could hate Houston's picks. I don't love them. But that's a blueprint towards winning. Get a quarterback, get a rusher. And to me, if you have running back, why would you need this guy? I mean, we're not playing 7-on-7.
No. And Bijan, like, once again, fantastic player. But for, when you have Tyler Allgeier, who you found in the late rounds, you have Cordarrelle Patterson, who's one of the most dynamic
people
with the football.
This guy off the field to put – you're taking Cordell off to put Bijan. Like, I love Bijan. But at some point, you know, you got to stop somebody, right? You got to be able to slow people down. You got to rush the passer. You got to be able to coordinate the defense. You know, Walsh said this all the time, and he's right. You need 11 good players on defense. 11 good players. Because they'll find the weakest link in your defense. You can massage other positions on offense because you control offense. You don't control defense. So, like, for me, how you don't pick a front seven player, I love the player. I love the player. I don't love the pick for the team.
I can almost sympathize with Detroit more than Atlanta because Atlanta, like, Detroit, I think this is why they did it. My guess is that they're done with Swift. In terms of, like, they don't want to ever give him a contract extension because it hasn't worked out with him staying healthy on the field. When he's on the field, dynamic, but he's not on the field often. They signed David Montgomery, which I think that's why this is a little funny to me, is that, okay, you have Montgomery, you have Swift, who, yeah, you're going to move on from him probably next year, but you gave Montgomery a big contract to come over from Chicago, and now you spend high draft capital on a running back. It seems like it's a diminishing return, but I can at least sympathize with that. And understand where they're coming from. Atlanta's the one that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But on the Lions side of this, Brad Holmes had this to say about taking Gibbs, who they had at the time, number 12, when they were sitting there, was their highest rated player on the board.
They're football players. And, you know, if you believe that they can have an impact for you on the football field, then you just go ahead and take them. And that's just, I mean, starting off with Jahmyr, you know, even we were, had 6 and 18, you know, obviously we had thoughts of, you know, maybe at 18, but, you know, we didn't feel great about it. And so when we were able to select him at 12, that's when all the texts started coming in of would have been gone by 15. Well, it, like, it not, you know, just a lot of picks, a lot of people saying they want to trade up. They want to get in. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't have even felt good of him staying at 18. But again, it's not about just don't pick a running back, because that's not how we really view him.
So they view him like a weapon, which is justifiable.
I do. I agree with it. But, I mean, they also view a defense that can't stop anybody. They couldn't stop people. Have they improved that defense? I know they've added some corners. Yeah. Have they improved it?
You got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah. Add a little temperament
the
to that back
end. Now, they, you know, in fairness, they get a guy that a lot of people felt, Jack Campbell. They felt like Jack Campbell was, you know, I had Jack Campbell on a sheet I sent. You know, he's got people talking about him in the first round. Big Ten Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive Player of the Year. Big linebacker, not a great rusher, more of a not a coverage line. He's a big linebacker, you know, and he'll help them in the red zone because he's got size, he's got range, he's got better quickness than you think. He works out really well, and he's tough as hell. He fits the profile perfectly. So, you know, there's a front seven player. You can't argue with that.
Mm. So the Detroit Lions, they take a running back. The Atlanta Falcons take a running back, and that leaves the Philadelphia Eagles to take Jalen Carter at number 9. Carter was 4-1 to go ninth overall. He slides down a little bit here. Talent-wise, we talked about how he's probably the best player in the draft. The character stuff, which we have outlined as well, that kind of factors into it, which is why he was available in the back half of the top 10.
And that's the only reason. I mean, you know, the surprising that the Bears, you know, the Bears traded down and they took the deal with Carolina with the idea they wanted Carter all along. And then they must have done their due diligence and said, no, no, we don't want Carter anymore. And so they flip the pick and still get the tackle that they wanted. I mean, so there's so many red flags here, right? There's teams. We know the Seattle did a lot of work on Carter. We know the Raiders did a lot of work on Carter. You know, we know Atlanta had to do a lot of work on Carter. They're 60 miles away from Athens.
Right down the road.
Right. So, and there's a lot of people that are saying, no, no, no. Now, in fairness to Philly, a lot of people have done this before and have been way wrong. Because the environment that you bring the player in makes all the difference in the world.
And you kind of liken it to, we talked about it on the broadcast last night. We've talked about it on the podcast in the past when the Arizona Cardinals drafted Tyrann Mathieu while already having Patrick Peterson there as an established leader. Peterson kind of pounded the table for Tyrann Mathieu, and then they were able to have a successful career.
You got
to
show a player how to be a pro.
Yeah.
You got to show a player how to be a pro. You got to have somebody in the building who's going to help them. It just can't be the auxiliary staff.
No. So we'll see what happens with the Philadelphia Eagles. They took the gamble. I want to ask you something about Jalen Carter on the other side, because now that they've drafted him, we've gone through all that process. Now the real work begins here for the Eagles and Jalen Carter. We'll also get into the rest of the top 15 on the other side. This is the GM Shuffle. This is the Lombardi Line, damn it. And it's presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM Casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. In 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Matt Eumanns, VSiN host of VSiN Tonight. Also a contributor to the VSiN.com website. Make sure you check out all of Eumanns' work across the network. He'll be joining us to talk all things NFL draft, get his thoughts on the draft and his betting recap to see how he did with all of his draft bets as well here. But Michael, as we continue to move through the first round here, getting outside of the top 10, closed out with Darnell Wright going to the Chicago Bears. That was 14-1, by the way. Bears getting themselves an offensive tackle. Tennessee, everybody thought was going to go up to 3. Clearly Houston blocked them out. They go ahead and take Peter Skoronski at number 11 to try to shore up that offensive line.
I mean, look, the Titans needed – I mean, this is not a really talented team, so they needed as much help as they could get. And I think that it's a good move. He can play right tackle, guard. Do I think he's a left tackle? No, I'm sure they'll try to probably play him there to start off with. But, you know, they needed this position badly, and they were able to rebuild it. Taylor Lewan, I mean, the kid that just retired – you know, they lost him out. So when you break down their team needs, this is something they needed badly, and they were able to fulfill that and build a team. I mean, one thing about Rand Carthon, he was in San Francisco, so he understands the value of offensive and defensive linemen.
So we see Skoronski going over to the Tennessee Titans. Green Bay, who moved up from 15 to 13 due to that Aaron Rodgers trade, a lot of people had them pegging for a wide receiver.
That was the word on the
tight
street,
end,
right?
Maybe, yeah. Pass catcher or something. Jaxon Smith-Njigba was linked there, but they went with the Iowa defender, Lucas Van Ness.
Well, I felt like, you know, my number one need for them was tight end, then it was receiver, safety, and then inside defensive lineman. And I think they feel like they got a really good player who can play edge and go inside on sub downs. So they get a multidimensional guy who doesn't come off the field and gives them some help in their inside defensive front, which they need. You know, they lost both starting defensive ends in free agency. And so this helps them, and it gives them another defensive lineman to go with. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a receiver in the second round, though.
Yeah, no, I think the New York Jets maybe, or sorry, the Green Bay Packers, rather.
Or a tight end. I wonder, you know, I mean, the tight end that's interesting in this round is going to be Washington from Georgia, because he's really talented.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is medical. A lot of it is medical.
We started to see that run on the offensive lineman because you see Paris Johnson go, and Skoronski, or Darnell Wright goes, and Skoronski goes, and then Broderick Jones, as the Pittsburgh Steelers jump ahead of the New York Jets to go ahead and take that left tackle out of Georgia.
Yeah, there were, you know, when you look at the board, there were, I mean, these tackles were all kind of all over the place, but I would say the consensus was, you know, the consensus was Johnson, and then, you know, I like Broderick Jones a lot. I think he could be a left tackle. Johnson's mm-hmm. clean. Wright, to me, is more of a right tackle than he is a left tackle. Harrison was a step below him, but he was the best remaining tackle. And Skronsky gives you some guard flexibility because he can go inside or outside. So the kid that was supposed to go in the first round is Torrance Osiris, or mm-hmm. Osiris Torrance.
Osiris Torrance, yep.
And, you know, he's got a medical concern, which I think kept him out. Now, it'll be interesting if a center goes, the Schmidt kid from Minnesota at the top of this round is going to be somebody that I think could go.
Who was, I think, the best pick, in your opinion, outside of that top 15 range in this draft? Was there a player that you really liked that you thought could actually crack that top 15 that ended up going a little bit later than expected?
I think Banks, the corner, who the Giants took, is really good. Mm. I would say Forbes is a really good player, but he's 166 pounds. That kept him out of the top 10.
This guy's skinny.
You know, he's skinny. And so that would be one of the guys that I thought, oh, that seems like, you know, I mean, I know he's a really good player, but are we sure we're going to take this guy and that pick there? You know, I don't have, like I said, I don't have any, like I thought Banks was good. You know, Quentin Johnson surprised me because he was kind of moving down based on workouts. He was more of a mm-hmm. vertical receiver, which is something maybe that certainly could help the Chargers offense. Because they, you know, the Chargers, another team, right? You got all this money in Mike Williams, got all this money in
Keenan Allen.
They won't pay Eckler. They draft another receiver. I mean,
they're going three wide down in LA. I mean, you know, the video game offense.
The video game, well, this is going to be brutal. This is going to be brutal.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch them play. It has a chance to be, I mean, Herbert can make it explosive because of how good he is. So it has a chance to be really fun, but I cannot wait to see those guys going to work down there in Los Angeles.
You know, I mean, to me, again, it's about team building, right? It's not about being critical of the pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you played as badly as they did on defense, you know, where you don't stop anybody and you have trouble getting control of the game, like, you know, I thought they would go tight end. I thought they would go corner, really. I thought they would go corner. I thought, because, you know, you can say they get J.C. Jackson back. He did not play well last year at all, right? Mm-hmm. He did not play well at all. And, you know, I think they got stuck. I think they clearly didn't like Mayer, and that maybe they didn't have I think they would have taken the tight ends if they liked them. I think they probably like other tight ends later. One thing about the tight end situation in this draft is there's tight ends throughout this draft mm-hmm. that people like.
Yep.
And so why spend a high pick on it? And this gives them a big physical vertical outside guy that fits. I mean, they did have a need. Look, let's face it. Last year, Carter, the little receiver who the Raiders signed as a free agent, I mean, he was one of their leading catchers because Allen was hurt so damn much.
And I think that's why, as a Cowboys fan, I'm not really panicking the fact that they didn't get Dalton Kincaid there. He wasn't my favorite tight end, so I was like, all right, well, he's a viable option, clearly, but I mean, there's Mayer, there's Laporta, there's Washington, there's other guys in this tight end. Like, tight end is one of the spots of this draft that it was deep.
Yeah, it's deep. Yeah, it's really deep.
So I think we'll hear some tight ends here. Their names called on this Friday going into second and third round here. But you mentioned the wide receivers. Chargers take Quentin Johnson. We saw for the first time in the common draft era four straight wide receivers. They went 20, 21, 22, and 23, cashing the over 3.5 wide receivers prop, which was at plus 120.
And Minnesota moved down now, they too, did. Remember, right? So Minnesota moved down with they traded with
No, I believe they were always 23, I believe.
Were they?
I think they were always 23.
Okay.
But, I mean, that was a spot that we all thought Levis might go. Instead, they go Addison.
That was it. You know, and Seattle needed an inside slot receiver. You know, we haven't talked about Tampa picking Kancey.
Yeah.
Really an explosive inside player, three technique. I don't know if he has that second step of power, but, you know, he gives them another defensive tackle that they need in there badly. You know, I don't know. You know, everybody wants to compare him to Aaron Donald. That's kind of unfair for the kid.
Yeah, very unfair.
But he's got really good quickness. So, you know, and look, it's a good – anytime you pick a defensive lineman and you feel like you're going to get some miles out of him, I think that's a good pick.
In the back half, as we continue to kind of make our way into the 20s and into the 30s here, I'm looking at these teams. Obviously, when you start with like Buffalo at 25, Dallas 26, Jacksonville 27, these are teams that had a lot of success last year. What do you think that they added? I mean, these are guys I would not anticipate that they're big time performers immediately because those rosters are already pretty good, but they address the trenches in the front seven, which I think is a common thing among teams that know what they're doing.
Right. I mean, I think Miles Murphy will help them right away. I mean, Miles Murphy will give him Cincinnati will give him another rusher. I think Mazie Smith can come in and give him some run stop. But remember,
they need it.
You know, that they were searching for that during the season, you know, and they signed the kid from the Raiders who the Raiders cut.
Yeah, Hankins.
Jonathan Hankins, and they brought him in. So they needed that.
Yeah, no, they desperately needed that down in Dallas. New Orleans Saints, they signed Brian Bresee out of Clemson, big time, five-star recruit, big recruit heading into Clemson.
So was Murphy. Murphy was a five-star too. I mean, you know, Murphy's not as innately explosive or as violent, but he's a good athlete, and, you know, I think they'll get something out of him. Cincinnati does a nice job in that area, and I think Cincinnati was smart. Everybody had him taking a tight end too, and they didn't. You know, it's like, so when you go through it, like the Chargers had Kincaid in for a visit, right? Obviously, that wasn't medically what they hoped for. And so they went to the receiver route.
What do you make of the Philadelphia Eagles taking Nolan Smith, big-time athlete out of Georgia?
I think they feel like they're getting Hassan Riddick. I think they feel like they want to duplicate Hassan Riddick, and they can give him a year to do. But the kid doesn't stay healthy. I don't know if he's going to be big enough to play on the edge at 238. Can he play on the edge? He can run. I think he'd be one of those guys going to run past the quarterback most of the time. He's got athleticism. There's no denying that. But to me, he's a Sam linebacker in a league that doesn't have Sam linebackers anymore. It's a hard position to play. He's got to be an edge rusher. He's got to be a DE. Mm-hmm. Is he big enough to be a DE? Can he live there when you're in 11 personnel and people are going to run the ball right at him? How's that going to work? I think that's the question.
You can do a lot worse than drafting Georgia defensive players.
No, I mean, them is a smart move, right?
Yeah, Kirby Smart's got it cooking down there in Athens with the back-to-back national title winners. On the other side, we'll bring in our buddy Matt Youmans, VSiN, host of VSiN Tonight Next, to break down his thoughts on the NFL draft.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, Michael, the spring is a very underrated time in the betting space. And for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the NFL Draft. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap and the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino, where our next guest was hanging out after the NFL draft coverage. You see him on VSiN tonight, Monday through Friday. He is the one and only Matt Youmans, joining us now to talk all things NFL draft. Youmans, it sounds like you had a nice little dinner last night. Was that celebrating the draft bets that came home for you last night? How are we doing?
No, not at all. In fact, the draft started out very poorly in terms of betting last night with C.J. Stroud going number two. That was not something we planned on happening. We had a source in Houston saying no quarterback and definitely no C.J. Stroud. Mitch Moss was talking about it this morning, too. That was a disastrous scenario for him. So, the draft betting started out in the first five picks very poorly. It did get a little bit better late last night in the rest of the first round, but it was a small loser for me last night. The Will Levis information was bad, too. I mean, I got sucked into that. I know that one of the sharpest betting groups in the country was pounding Will Levis under 7.5. The information was that the Colts coveted Will Levis. So between the C.J. Stroud and Will Levis debacles, it was tough to get above board last night. I ended up doing okay, but, man, that was a tough way to start the draft.
You know, I do think, Matt, the way it worked, I think if you had Anderson at two, that was the right play. The reason that Stroud went two was he had a lockout Houston. He had a lockout Tennessee or any team moving up there that wanted a quarterback. So and he announced it. Basically, I think Houston released the Stroud information to then let people know that they're picking Stroud, and that opened the door to make the trade at three for him. Because why would you trade up for three if you wanted Stroud? Tennessee wanted Stroud. Everybody knew that. They were going to trade up there, but now he's gone. Who else were you trading up for? I think the grade on Levis by the worldwide leader was wrong. I think everybody saw him more in the vein the way I saw him, which was a backup quarterback.
Yeah, no question. And I think Mel Kiper was driving the hype train for Will Levis. And unfortunately, a lot of people in the betting market get sucked into it. I mean, how much money was on Levis to go number two, to go three, to go four?
Hey, Matt, he was favored to go one for – I mean, he had some money moving last week to go one. Yeah. Remember
that?
Shout
out to Reddit.
Because of a Reddit tweet. And remember, the Patriots are trading up to two to get him – When the Mac Jones rumor, I mean, I did a radio show yesterday. That was one of the first questions I got hit with. Will the Patriots move up to get Mac Jones? I mean, it was a joke, but this was out there.
Yeah, I was not buying the Reddit stuff. I thought that was a farce, but there was information out before that, even that the Colts really wanted Will Levis or the Titans wanted Levis. And obviously that was bad info. And, you know, you look at some of these mock drafts, mine was not great last night. I think they had 5 out of 31, which I just missed on a couple of them. But some of these mock drafts, I mean, that Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, some of these mock drafts were a disaster, not even close. And, you know, even Peter King put out a mock draft on, Tuesday, and he had he had Anthony Richardson going with the 23rd pick. 23, and he went number 4. So, you know, if you were looking, studying a lot of these mock drafts and betting accordingly, you didn't do well. You know, I try not to do that. I was trying to base most of my bets off information and some of the beat writers and some of the good info out there that we get at the network. And some of the bets paid off, but obviously the big ones that were losers last night were the C.J. Stroud and Will Levis props. Now, I did have Will Anderson to go two. I had him at 3-1 odds, 5-1 odds. I had him under 3.5 on his draft position. So I got a little something there, but it would have been a much better night for me if Will Anderson had gone two instead of three.
Yeah, that was just a bad beat, Matt. I mean, that's just one of those where he was going two, and they just orchestrated it so they got Stroud. I still believe he was always going to go two, and I think – clearly, Nick, the information your betting group was getting about the Titans, the Texans, and Stroud was the same information I was getting, that they didn't love him. But I think what we can't discount moving forward for next drafts is the impact of the owner driving some of these decisions.
Yeah, I think that was in play in Houston, right? They wanted to get a quarterback?
Yeah, I think the owner was saying, look, I'm not going in front of the media tomorrow if you don't have a quarterback. And so Nick was able to make a deal, and he knew that if he could lock out Tennessee, Stroud was the guy that somebody might move up for. And we found out nobody was willing to move up for Levis even in the bottom of the first round. Femi and I, we were doing it with you last night. Once Minnesota passed on him, where was he going to go at 24? I mean, he wasn't going to go.
No, I'm not sure where he's going to go here in the top of the second round. I guess if you look at teams that might want a quarterback, Seahawks, Titans, Rams, you know, I wonder if the Raiders like Hendon Hooker better than Will Levis, if the Raiders might be a better bet for Hooker in the second round as a backup quarterback to Jimmy G this year. I'm not really sure. I don't think there are a lot of quarterback desperate teams at this point. But obviously the Will Levis situation was a disaster for a lot of bettors last night. I really did not see that coming. Not that I'm high on Will Levis as a prospect, because when you bet this stuff, sometimes you can't bet your own opinion. Your own opinion's got to be just a little part of it. What are these teams going to do? I wouldn't draft Will Levis that high, but apparently the Colts or the Titans wanted to. that was the information, and it didn't play out that way.
All right, let me ask you this question, Matt. You know, you're the Bryce Young pick I love. Do you think it's a good play, Carolina, to win the South?
By the South is there to be won by somebody, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like Derek Carr has a track record of winning a bunch of division titles. So I'm not really – I wouldn't bet against it. Let's see, if you look at Carolina last season, I thought the defense got a lot better. Actually, that team played better at the end of the season. I don't – let's put it this way. The Falcons, the Bucs, the Saints, it's wide open. So I'm not going to argue – with the Panthers, one thing I liked about, always liked about Bryce Young, watched so many of his games, was he's just got instincts that are off the charts, and he makes the right play almost all the time, doesn't turn the ball over. He's just a smart quarterback, and I think right now, you can make a case right now, the Panthers already have the best quarterback in the division. He makes better decisions than Derek Carr.
I agree. I think he hit the nail on the head. That's why I think, combined with their defense, Miles Sanders, their offensive line, they've got tight ends. I mean, they need a receiver. We get that. But I think they got a good team.
Yeah, I think the Panthers are really interesting at 3-1 to win that NFC South. I'll probably have a ticket at some point this offseason in my pocket with the Carolina Panthers on it. How about the receivers here, humans? I mean, we saw the receivers first time ever in the common draft era that we had four straight wide receivers go off the board here. Did it surprise you that we had that over 3.5 plus 120 cash on the wideouts?
I was glad it did because that's one prop I bet. And it wasn't a big play for me, but I did have over 3.5. We got around the 19th pick. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't think this prop's looking good. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 four straight wide receivers. I did have Jackson Smith and Jigba over 12.5 too. So I didn't think the wide receivers were going to go as early as a lot of people thought. I always thought the run on wide receivers was going to be in the 20s. Because when you look at these guys as a group, I didn't think it was a spectacular crop of wideouts at the top of this class this year. So the fact that four in a row went was surprising, of course. We didn't even have a pass catcher off the board, right, until, 19 or 20? When was that?
It was 20, Smith and Jigba.
Yeah. And I thought the tight ends might go Dalton Kincaid. You know, no Michael Mayer in the first round. That surprised me a little bit, but he'll be one of the first guys you would think off the board in the first half of the second round. But that was a great run on the I had the quarterbacks under 4.5. I didn't believe all the media hype that five quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. I did play wide receivers over 3.5, but I was a little nervous about that prop because I didn't love the wide receivers in the first round of this draft.
Yeah, well done on the under quarterbacks because that's now 6-1 since draft betting began 7 years ago. Every single year we do it. We do it every single year in humans. Everyone says, oh, trade into the first round, fifth-year option, trade into the first round. And then, of course, when the top 10's done, we don't see those quarterbacks get drafted.
Michael, how likely is it that the Raiders would grab one of those quarterbacks if they fell to them with this pick in the second round?
I don't think it's likely. I think, to me, there's a corner. If there's a corner there, they take him. I think they know they need defensive help. I mean, they can't, they got an edge rusher now. They could use a defensive tackle. I think defense is going to override their pick. And if there's an offensive lineman there, they could make that pick too.
All right. Well, he is Matt Youmans, VSiN host. Check him out tonight with Wes Reynolds on VSiN tonight. Youmans, thanks for joining us, buddy. Be well.
Get some rest, Matt. Thank
you. Okay, you bet. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll wrap up the show on the other side to preview day number two of the NFL draft here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You should. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here in downtown Las Vegas. Thank you to our one guest on the show today, Matt Eunice. Hey,
Matt Eunice. Even sleep. My man's got to get some rest. Wow.
He's going wire to wire. He's going wire to wire. Matt Eunice, VSiN host. You can check him out tonight with Wes Reynolds on VSiN tonight as they wrap up their weekend. Eunice, sounds like the draft betting was a little so-so, but I think that was for a lot of people.
I think it's a hard thing. You know, I mean, it's you
some years easier than others.
Some years easier than others. And there were so many question marks. And the fact that I think what made this draft year betting so difficult is the lack of blue-chip talent. You know, the Cowboys have 11 first-round grades, some other teams 17, you know. And then I think you have to – the hard part for me is balancing the market and your eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, your eyes tell you Will Levis is in the first pick overall in the draft. Your eyes tell you Will Levis is a backup quarterback with potential, right? But the betting market's telling you something else because all it takes is one team to see something. It's like Gibbs. I would never – We saw Elliot brought it out that the Detroit was prepared to take Gibbs at 6 if they had to do it. I mean, I don't know how you could have Gibbs rated higher than Bijan. Yeah. I mean, think about that. They had him rated higher on their draft board than Bijan. Again, I'm not criticizing them. That's their opinion. So I think it's the reason you have to listen to so many outside sources in the draft is because, you, as Matt Eunice said, you can't. But the one thing I think we do know, mm-hmm. I think we can write this down as we hear in our betting tip today, mm-hmm. is the total quarterback selected in the first round prop is 6-1 to the under since the draft betting season began. This year's total was set at 4.5. 3 quarterbacks were selected.
No sweat winner.
And we kept bringing it up in fairness to hopefully our listeners. We kept saying, remember this time last year, Malik Willis was going 5. Mm-hmm. This time last year, Malik Willis was going 10, and he went in the third round. And again, it happens again this year. Once again, the quarterback position is hard for teams to evaluate, but it's even harder for mock drafters to predict.
And it's almost crazy because I feel like people were saying that on Twitter. We were saying it on our podcast and on our shows that, hey, these quarterbacks, they're being inflated. But then people would always push back because, well, this year's different because X, Y, and Z. Or that's different because A, B, and C. No, it's not different. these guys are being artificially inflated.
I mean, even Anthony Richardson's artificially inflated. Yeah. I mean, you can't grade him, and I've said this, you can't grade him high enough to take him fourth. Clearly the Colts did, and his talent is unique. There's no question. But as I said to you on the pod, and I've said it on the show, the grading system goes back 50 years, and he fits a category of that 50 years. So he's not the first guy that's ever had this. Now, can he overcome it? We'll see.
So we have two quarterbacks who are still waiting to hear their names called that are talked about among this first day tier, Will Levis and Hendon Hooker. And thanks to our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bet on the team to draft Hendon Hooker or the team to draft Will Levis. Let's start with Levis first here, because I think that's the guy. If you were to poll most people, they would say Levis. Here's his name called first. Now, VSiN's own Sean King said his bold prediction was that Hooker was going to go before Levis. That is very live to happen today. We'll see how this unfolds as the draft starts.
Sean's watching it from – Sean is blocking out the noise. Give Sean credit.
He's just watching
tape. And he's just basically on his opinion of playing the position, which it can be really beneficial in this case. And it can also be all it takes is one team to see it differently. So there's a – you got to be able to balance a little bit. But today will be interesting. Pittsburgh will get a lot of phone calls for this pick. Typically, the fourth round and the second round, the start of a day, people are anxious. We saw the Chiefs pick a defensive end to end the draft, the Kansas State kid. So now teams that want defensive linemen will try to trade up because there's not many left, okay? And then where are we going with the quarterback, right? I mean, do the Rams make a little bit of a move to get to Arizona? Do they get up there to get one of these guys? Mm-hmm. Do they like Hooker? Do they like Levis? you know, as you said, they had Leon Coem on their staff. I mean, they got to know Levis as well as anybody, right?
Yeah. You think that they would know him in and out. And let's take a look at the odds, because right now for Levis, the favorite team to draft him is the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans right now, when you look at the draft order, they pick 41st overall today as of right now. Titans are plus 200 to take Levis. After Tennessee, it's the Rams at plus 380. Raiders 5-1. Vikings 11-1. Seahawks 13-1. Buccaneers and Commanders, Lions 14-1.
So if you're Rand Carthon and you really want Levis, you got to call the Rams. You're going to call Detroit. You're going to call Indy. And you're going to call the Rams and offer to see if they would move down. Mm-hmm. Okay, now why are you doing that? Because you kind of want to know who the Rams are going to pick.
Yep.
Okay, so basically, if the Rams said, "Yeah, we'll be interested in moving down if our guy's," here's what happens on the phone. Yeah, we'll definitely move down if our guy's not there. Okay, so you kind of know that they like somebody, that they're locked into a player. If you get, "Hey, yeah, we're interested in moving down. We've got a bunch of guys we like. We'll take the picks." Okay, now you know they're not after Levis. So you're trying to get information. So now you also set the stage to trade above Detroit, because in case you think the Rams might pick them, or trade above the Rams, you got Indy, you do all that. So you're trying to manipulate this, and if it can happen, it happens. If it can't, you just got to sit there and take the medicine. And maybe you just say, look, I'd rather have Hedden Hooker. I'd rather have Hooker than anybody.
Well, let's take a look at Hooker's odds, courtesy of DraftKings. The favorite team is the Minnesota Vikings at plus 380. In Minnesota right now, they are selecting, gosh, where are the Vikings at?
They're all the way down. Minnesota is all the way down. Minnesota, Detroit. Detroit has from Minnesota.
I was going to say, does Minnesota have a second-round pick? It doesn't look like it.
No, Minnesota. I don't see Minnesota does not have a second-round pick.
The next time Minnesota will be on the clock is 87, it looks
right,
like.
This is the TJ Hockenson, right?
Oh, this might be the Hockenson deal, huh?
Right. So this is Detroit has this pick, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see Minnesota here in the second round. So 87.
That's a waste of money to pick. To there.
So we might have a vulnerable favorite here, because if it's not the Vikings.
So you say, well, why would we might play that? Well, if the Vikings felt that strongly about Levis to trade a bunch of picks to get him in the second.
Or Hooker.
They would have picked him at 18, at 23. Like, you're going to give up away all these assets, right? Wouldn't you be better off just waiting for whatever receiver came to you? Doesn't make any sense.
So the Raiders then are 4-1. So I think this Hooker one is more interesting than the Levis one, because the Vikings don't pick for a while. Raiders 4-1, Titans 5-1, Rams 6-1, Seahawks plus 650, Commanders 10-1.
Yeah, I would not rule out the Rams. I think the Rams would like Hooker better than Levis. I really do.
6-1.
I mean, to me, it's about fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the Titans like Levis, why didn't they take him at 11? See, now we're looking back on it and we're second guessing it. But at the time, if they would have taken Levis at 11, nobody would have said anything different. He would have been like, okay, great. Clearly, they didn't have a first-round grade on him, or they didn't have a grade high enough to pick him over Skronsky.
To justify it.
So why would they all of a sudden want him in the second? Now, could they want him in the third? Maybe. And maybe he might be the highest-rated player on their board now after the board's been wiped out. But I have a feeling there's a lot of players on their board right now.
There's a lot of good players still available. I mean, Michael Mayer, Joey Porter Jr., Darnell Washington, Avila, Torrance, Keon White.
This is going to be a lot different than the mocks. I mean, this is truly the eye of the beholder. I think the defensive linemen here, I think there'll be a run. People will try to trade up to get a D lineman, and I think people will try to get the last corner.
Who do you think goes first, Hooker or Levis?
I think it could be Hooker.
you're on Hooker Island with Sean King.
I might go there. I mean, look, I think Levis is a backup. I think he's a potential starter. I don't think he's a starter.
Wow. Imagine that. From favored, not even
a
week ago.
He was a favorite by Mel. I mean, Mel's promoted this.
Mel in the betting market. And maybe the betting market was following Mel's gospel.
We know the betting market listens to the worldwide leader, because we said that Bryce Young was going to be the first pick overall. Nobody reacted to that.
They waited for Mortensen to say it 2.5 weeks later.
Yeah.
You could have cashed if you listened to the GM Shuffle. Hope you did. There are people that did tweeted at us.
I'm happy for it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm one of them, so much appreciated. That does it for us, though. It's going to be fun tracking this draft.
Of course, tomorrow
we'll be here tomorrow morning. We'll be following along what's going on in day number 3. We'll obviously get back to the NBA, your Philadelphia 76ers. They now have an opponent. We'll break that down. We'll gauge your
Celtics and six.
He's not confident. Celtics in six is what he is saying. We'll see. Celtics didn't look that impressive against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll discuss all of that tomorrow and much more on the Lombardi Line. We'll talk to you guys then. VSiN Best Bets coming up next.